All right, welcome to another edition of the Saints Happy Hour Patron Spotlight. We do this to people that support the show at least a $5 a month level, and we do a drawing every so often, and they get to come on and talk to us about being a fan of the show, being a Saints fan. And today, we are doing another international episode. We are going to Glasgow, Scotland to talk to Ross Sutherland. Ross, thanks for joining us and thanks for supporting the show.
Absolutely, man. Thanks for having me. Big fan of the show.
I feel like probably every American person you talk to, they feel like they've suddenly been transported into the movie Braveheart. I feel like you're going to tell me I'm the king and behead me. So how do you become a Saints fan all the way in Scotland?
Oh man, it's kind of a long kind of dragged out process. So I mean, I loosely watched American sports, mostly NBA, but what we could get on terrestrial TV here was limited, and it was also very late at night. So for NFL, it was, you know, Sunday night, primetime kickoffs. Mm-hmm. You know, that would be like midnight or 1 a.m., depending on, you know, daylight savings time. So what I could see was really limited, you know. You know, going back to the days of Elway or Warner with the Rams, you know, Terrell Davis with the Broncos, you know, it was like you'd watch one game every Sunday night. You wouldn't really see it that much. And I'd fall asleep halfway through it anyway. So I never really had a team, and I tried to follow the Packers because the colours being the same as Glasgow Celtic, but I didn't really see enough to actually become a fan and maybe watch 3 full games a year, excluding the Super Bowl. So, you know, at that point, I still didn't really have a team, didn't have satellite TV, still had terrestrial. So it was more just players I would watch, you know, Ray Lewis. I mean, even, you know, I hate to say it, but Dexter Jackson with the Bucks back then. Mm-hmm. And then around 04 or 05, I got satellite TV, so it enabled me to watch more. And then obviously the storm happened in 05, and my attention was sort of drawn to New Orleans and the Gulf Coast region as a whole. So throughout that time, that's what sort of transpired with the displacement of the Saints, having to play on the road, the Alamo Dome, Tiger Stadium, I think even played against the Giants Stadium. So, you know, I found myself rooting for them week in and week out, like I'd imagine most neutrals or fans of teams not direct rivals of the Saints would be. And I guess it just really rolled from there.
Yeah, I mean, we had another supporter of the show. He was from England as well. I forget. I think he was in. I think he was in Ireland. We recorded it about 6 weeks ago, and he was saying the same thing, that, you know, he would watch American football on and on and try to find it, but Katrina really being a sort of international story, right? And it's one of those things that the whole world was watching, and that sort of made him gravitate to New Orleans and what sort of happened and was interesting. And then rebuilding the Superdome post-Katrina, that was a big story, and that sort of guided him sort of to the Saints as a fan. And your story is kind of similar, which is interesting. He was saying that he doesn't drink, but he has to go to bars late at night because when the Saints, because of the international package to watch games, when they are on in prime time, you can't always get it and you have to go to a bar. And he says he'll go to a bar and he'll be all alone watching the Saints in the middle of the night. Is it the same sort of experience for you in Scotland?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, we're on the exact same time zone, the whole of the UK and Ireland. So early kickoffs will be, you know, 6 p.m. You know, the midday game is 6 p.m. The afternoon game will be 9 p.m. And then prime time will be later, you know, 1 a.m. to 12 p.m. Mm-hmm. Now, I pay for NFL Game Pass subscription, but if the Saints game is the nationally televised scheduled game on satellite TV, then you have to have a satellite TV subscription as well, or you can't watch it. So it's a bit annoying. And for instance, like when I go to Thailand, sometimes I go to Thailand and Southeast Asia for Christmas and New Year. And so that's playoff time, man. And then obviously I'm scrambling around the phone in the morning. I'm trying to use a VPN. It's not working. I'm finding a sports bar.
What's the time difference in Thailand for the Saints? What time is kickoff in Thailand for the Saints?
4 a.m.
Oh my God.
Like in a bar at 4 a.m. They're not even opened, but I'm paying them enough money to stay open. They're just like, yeah, whatever. Come on in.
Oh my God. Are they like this crazy Scottish person wants to watch this sport that we don't even understand in Thailand, but he just gave us a pile of Thailand type money, so we'll stay open for him.
That's it.
So
That's
were
it.
You
they're like,
were you watching
good.
The Saints? Were you watching the Saints playoff games this year in Thailand?
I was in Cambodia for the Steelers game.
Okay.
And I was in Cambodia for the Steelers game and also the game against the Panthers when Teddy B started. So I was there. So I managed to, what I do now is I book a good hotel that I know has really good Wi-Fi rather than just, you know, a 3-star hotel. If you get a really good hotel, then you're going to have good Wi-Fi.
Pro travel tip, people.
But last year I was in Cambodia, just a, you know, a half decent hotel, but the Wi-Fi was so bad. Me being an idiot, booked a good room, which was like a sort of more like a penthouse, but it was a low budget hotel. But it was so far away from the router because the router was downstairs in their office, so the Wi-Fi signal was terrible. So it didn't work too well. And then I've got my buddy Matt in Mississippi. My stream has died. He's calling me on Facebook, turning his phone at the TV and watching the game through his phone on the TV while I'm in Cambodia.
I love it. American crazy. Football is bringing a guy from Scotland and a guy from the deep south, Mississippi, bringing them together in their common addiction to the Saints. And he's doing FaceTime live so you can watch the Saints in Cambodia. That's amazing. So, you know, as a Saints, as your, would you say your Saints fandom, where does it rank in your sort of overall sports fandom with, you know, what they have in Scotland, whether it's cricket or rugby or EPL or Scottish Premier League, where do the Saints sort of rank on your sports hierarchy of things you care about most?
To be honest, and it's not a popular opinion with my friends here, the Saints rank higher. And the argument that I have is because we only have 16 regular season games a year.
Yeah.
We build up all year. You know, we wait all year for those 16 games. I'll never miss a game. I don't care if I have to take a sick day from work, if I have to take a vacation day because it's a midnight kickoff. I won't miss a game, whereas with soccer, I will. Whereas also with soccer, if we lose, you know, we play 38 games in a season. It doesn't really matter. You know, if the Saints lose, you know, one or two results can dictate home field advantage and, you know, it shapes your whole season. So I get more emotional and more passionate about the Saints games, I guess. And, yeah, it definitely has my attention more.
Yeah, that's the thing with soccer, man. Soccer, and I'm a Everton fan in the EPL, but, you know, soccer, you play 38 league games, right? And then you got the FA Cup, and you got another, like, the Checker brand, whatever cup that is for the EPL. And then if you qualify for Europa, and I don't know how your Scottish team does, but you might have Champions League. So you could play 45, 50 games a year, which is basically like you're going to have soccer at least once a week for every, for like 2 months a year.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I am a season ticket holder for Glasgow Celtic, and they have things like they call it the Home Cup ticket scheme. So, you know, our equivalent of the FA Cup and the League Cup, if your team plays a game at home, it's not included on your season ticket. They just take the money out of your bank account, man. They're like, all right, we've got another game. We're going to take more money out of your account. So, you know, a season ticket costs £560. So that's roughly over $700 for the year. It's not bad. But then with all the add-ons and going to games and then, you know, them taking more money out of your account, it does add up over the year.
Oh, totally.
Granted, you know, I'm saying that, and I think I paid $300 there just for my NFC Championship ticket. But yeah, anyway,
you came in for the NFC Championship?
Oh yeah, absolutely, man, absolutely. So my buddy Ray, He has season tickets. Now I was I came in I was in town in September. I brought my girlfriend and we went to the I came in 1 week before her and went to the Brown no sorry the Bucks game, and then she flew in and we went to the Browns game. And I said to my buddy Ray at the time, I said, look man, if we make this NFC Championship game, I'm coming back. I'm having one of those tickets. He has sideline seats. You might know my buddy Ray from the TV. He dresses up in the Halo Master Chief suit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that dude. So yeah, I met him back in 2009 on Sense Report. So like I made a deal. I was like, dude, I'm coming. So it's Scotland, it's 3 a.m. I'm drunk. We've just beat the Eagles and I'm like, I'm booking this. I'm doing it. I'm doing it. I went and woke my girlfriend up. Do you think I should? She's like, yeah, whatever. Just
Let's
go
do
away,
it.
let me sleep. So I
You
booked
gotta
it.
do it, man. You gotta do it. And even though it ends in heartache, you gotta, when your team is at that moment, because you don't know when you're gonna be back, right? You know, I mean, the
Exactly.
Saints, they could be, I think they're gonna be really good this year. But it's hard to replicate 13-3. You don't know when you're gonna be back again, so you gotta do it. Kipps, he came in, he flew in as well. It was his first Saints game ever, was the NFC Championship game against the Rams. You know, I hate to just go over and over because we know that the refs sort of fucked the Saints and that was sort of it. But my thing, and you can talk to this, Russ, is I'm feeling better about the Saints and how they played in the NFC Championship game, knowing what I know now, because we knew going into the game, we knew, right, we knew Armstead was hurt, right? We knew Pete had a broken hand. But now we find out Unger was shot to hell and he retired, right? We knew that Ramczyk was playing with the body armor, right? We knew that Kirkwood was out. We knew that Ben Watson didn't play. We knew that because of appendicitis, Josh Hill got hurt during the game. So all the Saints' offensive issues that they had at the end of the year and that they had versus Philadelphia to a certain extent and definitely versus the Rams, I think, man, I don't think it's a great decline of Drew Brees or teams figuring out Sean Payton. I just think their offense was injured to hell, and they were a team. They were a car that was missing three cylinders, and they almost made it through, if not for the ref fucking them. But I think it can go. They can go into 2019, and it could be okay. Like if they can get healthy, and it can be fine. So I'm not as worried as I was right after, where I was like, man, Drew Brees is getting old. It really is. This might be it. Now I'm feeling better about it the further I get away from it. Not the ref fucking them. That'll haunt me forever, Russ. But as far as the way the offense played in general, I feel better about it now than I did right after it because of all what we know now.
No, absolutely. I'm the same way. Like at that time, you're there. I was in the dorm and I'm like, fuck, man, this is it. You've blown it. I stormed out of the fucking dorm and walked back to Old Araby. Walked all the way to my friend's house. Like I was just, I'm out of here. Because Rams fans were making some noise and giving me a bit of shit. And
All
then,
three
I
of
started
them.
getting, yeah, it was females as well. And I started giving them a bit of shit back. And I was like, nah, I'm not even turning around. I'm just walking out of here. The game's over. I'm gone. And I just kept walking. Before I knew it, I was in the Marigny. I was like, I'm just going to keep walking to Araby. I don't care. But yeah, I mean, I didn't want to listen. I didn't listen to your podcast. I listened to no podcast for about a week. I was like, nah, fuck it. I just don't want to think about it. I feel sick. But then I started to warm up, and then, as you say, with all the things coming out, we know all the injuries, and you're like, nah, I feel good again. Like we were so close, and we did get fucked, and it took, the ref fucking us to cost us a Super Bowl chance. And I'm like, you know what? We could actually come back a little bit stronger,
Yeah, I mean, it's been interesting, you know, and part of you know, for this the five, you know, if you donate $5, you get in the drawing. A lot of times I did the drawings and I had a bunch of people and I was contacting them and say, hey, you know, you won the drawing, and they're like, Ralph, we love the show. We're gonna keep donating, but I can't talk about it now. I don't, and some people were like, I don't want to do it. And I was like, well, look, you know, we promise that we do this, try to do it every month, and we have a backload of, I had a backload. I'm like, I gotta deliver it. So, you know, for you, I put the call out on Twitter through the show Twitter account, and you were kind enough to say, be a $5 a month donator and jump in and do it. And but people, man, people were hurting. And it's just, I mean, and I think Ross, it takes longer because the free agency got us through a point we got excited at, but because the Saints don't have any picks, and I think what they did with those picks has worked out well, but still, not having any draft picks means we don't really care about the draft, right? So we can't get excited about the draft like we normally would. So it just the hurt sort of just lingers, man. It's just hard to get. It's just sort of hard to get over it. I mean, I will admit, I think about it like once a day. I'll just be driving or whatever, and I'll just be like, "How the fuck did they lose that game? The stupid
No.
ref and like 900 different things that had to go wrong just for the Rams to have a chance." And it just, man, I don't know that you get over it. It just sort of gets, it's like a numb part of your body that you just deal with on a daily basis.
Yeah, I think it gets to the point where you're like, look, it happened. I can't change it. So, just move on. For a while, I was like, you know what? Fuck the NFL. I ain't watching another team. The only team I watch is the Saints. I'm not taking part in fantasy. I'm not doing nothing. As time has passed, I'm like, I don't know. Maybe I'll rethink that. But
No,
yeah,
I
I
mean,
mean.
you gotta, you shouldn't let, you should, it's an enjoyment part of your life. Like, we should enjoy our lives and do what you want to do. You're not obligated to, and me, if I don't play fantasy, it's not going to do anything for the NFL, right? But I do think, you got to get over it a little bit. People have to deal with it in their own way. My question to you is, how is your consumption of Saints news in Scotland? With the EU, sort of sometimes they block sites. I know there was a stretch where people were complaining to Nick Underhill, "Hey, I'm in Europe and I'm getting blocked. What's the deal?" How is your consumption of Saints news in Scotland, and how did you find our show?
Twitter, basically, that's the main consumption I use, and that's how I found you guys. So Twitter's sort of the go-to, and then if there's any articles that I can't get on, I can use a VPN to get around them. If there's something I really want to look at, maybe like The Athletic, if I can be bothered paying for it. But also Saints Report. I mean, I don't know if give a shout out to them, but that was where most of my news would come from. Before Twitter really took off, and you'd all these beat writers all tweeting and players tweeting, and you could keep up. So I think Twitter in the early days. I mean, there was probably a time where I used to read Jeff Duncan's articles before he turned heel.
He did turn heel. He turned heel like about, I would say maybe like Bounty Gate. Was like 2012 was when Duncan really, he went full heel.
That was it. I would say that was when Donkey went heel. But man, it's a shame Nick Underhill's going to cover the Patriots. But there's a lot of good guys out there, and I follow a lot of them on Twitter. And I think Diana Rossini, she seems to be the one with the finger on the pulse at the minute, does she
She
not?
is, I would say, she's not necessarily, she doesn't, the Saints aren't her beat, right? She's not a Saints beat reporter based in New Orleans. But I would say, as far as the person in the world that breaks the most Saints news, she is by far the number one. She broke Brandon Cooks. She broke free agent news. Like, she has a connection to Mickey Loomis or Sean Payton or whoever, and she gets the Saints news. Like, she is a, for free agency the last 2 years, she's been my number one Saints follow on Twitter. I go to her and refresh her Twitter 7, 8, 10, 12 times a day. I mean, because she's got it, and you can argue, well, it should be a local guy, it should be a national guy, whatever. It ain't. It's her. She is the number one source of Saints news out there. So there's a million Saints podcasts, man, and we appreciate everybody that supports us. Why do you sort of give us your hard-earned money?
I would say, I mean, it's the full package in a sense. Like there's no airs or graces. You're not minding your P's and Q's and trying to be all polite and hey y'all. It's not like that. You come out there, you bullshit. But it's also good content. The content is good and it's relatable. It's just a couple of Saints fans, a bunch of Saints fans just shooting the shit, being funny. There's also the humor element, and I really appreciate that. So it's you can have a laugh, and you also sort of you just you. I think also for me, the 7 minutes of Saints and stuff, I don't really have anyone to talk to about the Saints, so I just
Oh,
listen
yeah.
to them. like they're talking about the shit I would be talking about. So, yeah, sweet.
Yeah, and so we people depend on when we do this, people may or may not have may or may not have heard our something that we gonna we're, you know because we have you guys supporting us, so we have more money coming in to do sort of really sort of cool stuff, and we have some draft day spotlight stuff that we're gonna do that I think for the NFL draft that me and Andrew have done that I think people are really gonna dig it. So I'm really excited about that, and just by you guys, just by people like you supporting us, it's just allowed us to sort of do stuff that's been really cool, and we're super excited about it, and we appreciate you supporting the show and giving us time all the way from Glasgow, Scotland. And before we get out of here, are you going to be coming into any games for 2019?
I'm gonna try, probably not regular season, so I'm all in on postseason. So, fingers crossed, things go well, and we get at least a couple of games at home, and then I'll be heading in. But with the schedules and stuff, I don't think I can make the regular season, but postseason would be doable, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, Ross, thanks a lot, guy, and like I said, we appreciate all the support, and anybody else, if you like this spotlight that we did with Ross, donate at the $5 level. We do a drawing every month. We try to get them out. We have a bunch in the can. They're great. We have them from all over the world. Donate $5 a month to support us, and you can be on the patron spotlight yourself. So until next time on the patron spotlight, the bar is closed.